Hi, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about Pokemon Detective Pikachu. It's going to be a very silly conversation for a very ridiculous movie, but it was fun. It was a pretty fun movie and a great conversation with returning co-host Ryan Daugherty, who was just in town recently. I got to meet him for the first time, so that was fun. And now he's back on the show, so I'm glad to have him as always. Detective Pikachu is, of course, part of the big giant Pokemon world of video games and cards and, I don't even know, cartoons. There's so much Pokemon in the world. It's one of the biggest franchises there is. I was a little too old for this franchise, though. I kind of missed out on it. Being the nerd that I am, I've always been around Pokemon, but I just never really played the games or anything like that. With Ryan Reynolds voicing it and the commercials kind of promising a little bit of a Deadpool light kind of a thing, I was certainly interested. And plus, it is a Nintendo franchise, so I am a Nintendo guy. So I was kind of excited for this movie, and glad to be talking about it. As always, I want to remind you all, if you are not yet, make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. Also, you can find us on all the major social networks at Piecing Pod, and you can join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, a movie discussion group to discuss movies like Detective Pikachu and all kinds of other movies. And also, before we get into the conversation about Detective Pikachu, we have a sponsor today. I want to thank the Golden Tiki for being a sponsor of Piecing It Together. The Golden Tiki was recently named one of the top tiki bars in the United States by the Food Network. Also one of the 10 best nightlife destinations in Las Vegas by USA Today. It's also, you guys know, I pretty much don't leave the house lately as I've gotten into the ripe old age of 38. I don't really leave the house too much anymore. But I would say, like, unless it's movies, you know, I'm talking like nightlife, like actually going out, having a drink or any of that kind of stuff, I would say like 90% of my times out of the house have been to the Golden Tiki. I mean, it really is an awesome place, and it's pretty much where you'll find me if I'm going to be out at a bar, which is rare, but I always tell people when they're coming to town, let's go to the Golden Tiki. It's a really cool place. And just recently added, I saw it when they were putting it together. I haven't seen it in action yet. I'm hoping to get down there soon to see it, but they just added Al and Bud's Oasis, which is an animatronic bird show featuring two robotic parrots that were built with like microcomputers and nanorobotics and 3D printing and hand feathering and like a whole big script of a show. They're just like, knowing the owner, Brandon Powers, I'm sure they're plenty dirty and plenty ridiculous and really funny. So they're described as engaging in risque repartee. I'm sure it's absolutely hilarious. So you guys should all go check out the Golden Tiki. And they've got amazing drinks there, lots of rum and mixed drinks, and they always have theme nights and DJs and a lot of stuff to check out at the Golden Tiki. So make sure to check them out. You can also find the Golden Tiki on all the social media sites and check out some of those articles that have been written about them lately. They keep getting written up and everything as like the place to be. So definitely check out the Golden Tiki, and thank you to them for being a sponsor. They're going to be a sponsor on the next few episodes as well. So you'll hear more about them in the coming episodes. So with that said, let's jump into the conversation about Detective Pikachu. All right. So with us today is Ryan Daugherty to talk about Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hey. So I do have to get this out of the way right away. I am very firmly on Team Digimon, but I will take one for the team and do a Pokemon movie, especially because this was one of my most highly anticipated movies of the year when we had our top 10 anticipated movies of 2019 episode. So happy to be here for this.
I'm not 100% sure I'd have seen this if it wasn't for you. Your enthusiasm rubbed off on me, And I'm not 100% sure whether or not I'm happy that I saw it, but it'll be fun to talk about regardless. I was excited though, because I mean, Pikachu, Pokemon is like, it's, you know, it is its own thing, but it's also kind of a Nintendo property, and I'm happy to see a Nintendo movie be like one of the first relatively big video game movies.
Yeah.
That always
this
makes
is,
me happy.
This is, I mean, the next one I guess they have on the docket is the Illumination Super Mario Brothers movie. And right. I don't really know that I've ever actually seen an Illumination film, but I've never heard a good thing about any of them.
I walked out of an Illumination film once. So
Secret Life of Pets?
That's where I'm at so far. and I did make it through all of Detective Pikachu. So that's, you know, that's...
okay, that's where the bar is at then.
So for everybody listening at home, this episode is going to be a little bit loose. You know, it's a Pikachu movie. I mean, we're not going to really deep into the greater truths of the art of filmmaking here. However, I'm sure we'll have plenty of puzzle pieces to talk about. And, you know, with that said, Ryan, what do you got for your first puzzle piece for?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the most obvious one. I didn't make this description myself, but I've seen multiple people online talking about how this movie is like 90% Zootopia and 10% Get Out. But the Zootopia thing, it really is. This movie just, like, plot-wise, is Zootopia. Like two unlikely partners in a world populated with animals trying to track down the origin of this mysterious chemical that makes other animals go crazy in like this vaguely noir type like homage, and then like eventually discovering that like the mayor in charge of town is the dude who's like disseminating the like chemicals. Dave, I know you haven't seen Zootopia, but that literally is the plot, which you might notice
that
is
sounds
identical.
Like the exact plot. Yeah. It's like you're just reading it right off the page of Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, no, there's a lot I loved about Detective Pikachu, but its groundbreaking plot is definitely not on that list. and it's been a while since I've seen Zootopia. It was pretty good, but this was definitely like the exact same type of thing. Like, the only thing that, like, would have made it more like Zootopia is if all the human... Like, if there weren't humans, and it was just a Detective Pikachu teaming up with another Pokemon trying to solve these mysteries or something.
Right,
like
they're
that.
All little creatures and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you want to get into the hardcore fan theories, it's debated in the world of Pokemon, are humans just their own species of Pokemon? So we won't go down that road yet, but... We'll save that for another time.
Wait, I do want to go down that road just briefly. Let's not go too deep into that road, but I do want to know, is the theory that like humans in the real world watching the Pokemon shows are...
No. Like that, like the species that like Ash
so
and
Ash
Professor
and
Oak are is... Okay. Yeah, because I think like it has to do with like in like some of the like the ancient Pokemon stuff, like maybe they talk about like Pokemon being able to crossbreed with humans for a period of time or something, but it's sort of implied, I think, that that humans are like an actual real world evolution, like not real world, but like using how evolution works in the real world, offshoot of a primitive Pokemon 20,000 years ago or something like that. And in that case, it really just at that point, Pokemon just means animal. Then, right? Because, like, that's kind of how it worked in the real world. Like, 10 million years ago, like, we were a step closer to a monkey or something like that. So, but yeah, so I think technically, if we want to say that the humans are another type of Pokemon, then it's exactly Zootopia.
This is all very interesting. It also makes me think of a puzzle piece that I hadn't written down. And just because this movie is ridiculous, I'm going to go there.
Go for it.
And that is Prometheus.
fuck you. Dave knows I get very passionate about the film Prometheus.
Yeah, I mean we've got experiments going on here. We've got, you know, who is the monster? Is it the humans or is it these creatures? And is it this alien creature that they built? I'm going with Prometheus for my first puzzle piece. This was not planned, and I'm liking where this is going right now. I'm very, very interested to see where else this could possibly lead us. But Prometheus, anytime I get a chance to talk about it, we both are big fans of that series, even though, you know, we recognize it for all of their flaws that they have plenty of. The Ridley Scott definitely went into a really like an interesting world building situation with creators and children and who's like, yeah, like I said, like who is who is evil and who isn't and who is evil for having created things. I mean, it's a very God type thing, but you know, I don't know that we go too deep into that with Detective Pikachu, but I mean, it's certainly there in the lab.
Oh, no, I mean, anytime you get Mewtwo involved in a movie, and this was actually, I thought was interesting, was, like, every time Mewtwo gets added to a Pokemon property, there's a ton of gravitas that gets added, because, like, Mewtwo's whole thing is, like, what even is existence? Because he's, like, a clone of something dead. So, like, even in, like, the original Pokemon movie, like, from years ago, like, the one that was in theaters, there are, like, Mewtwo spouts some lines that, like, out of context, you would think are, like, Abe Lincoln quotes or, like, Gandhi quotes or whatever. Like, it's very, like, it gets very, like, what is the merit of a man beyond his blood, if not his words? And you're like, what the fuck? You are a Pokemon, dude. Like, chill out.
Mewtwo gets deep,
man. Oh, he really does. So it's weird that they, like, didn't cover that part at all, but they still tried to have some level of like grander commentary on being human and being better than human.
Okay, so before we get into your next puzzle piece, since you know these characters and the cartoon and all that stuff, is Mewtwo usually a good character, or is that just was that created for the
No, game? he's almost always a bad guy who turns into a neutral guy. So it very much is the same thing. So like Mew may or may not have been the first Pokemon, and usually Mewtwo's origin is that some really, really bad guy wants to create the perfect killing machine. So they clone the like original Pokemon, but then like just throw in a bunch of shit from other Pokemon to like make him stronger. And, like, usually he's a killing machine because that's all he knows. And then he'll, like, start grappling with his own... Because he can, like, psychically talk to other people just like in this movie. He's, like, the only Pokemon that can talk, really, in a way. So, usually, like, most of the time, at the end of the movie, he will suddenly realize that... like, either he'll realize, I'm better than humans, I shouldn't be fighting them, I should pity them. And then he'll fly away, or he will like be like, oh, I shouldn't have been fighting at all. And then he'll fly away.
Big themes, very big themes for this, this world.
No, it's, like if you know Pokemon, the fact that it was Mewtwo still really lines up a lot. Cause he's like the strongest psychic Pokemon, and they didn't build him to be the ultimate killing machine in this one, but they built him to be the ultimate physical specimen for Bill Nighy to put him. Also, side note, apparently over the course of this movie, Bill Nighy got like super obsessed with Pokemon, and I've heard he has like very expensive, very large like replicas of like Pokemon art and like the Pokemon fossils and stuff that are just sitting in his wine cellar because he like can't mount them on his walls yet, like because they're too big. And I hope that's true. I want that to be so true.
That's wonderful.
That, like, 97-year-old fucking brilliant actor Bill Nighy is now discovering, like, Pokemon Go and shit like that.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. I really want that to be true. I'm gonna look into that once this episode goes up.
Yeah, definitely do, like, an editor's note or something if you find out.
So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So this one is a lighter one. Like it's not as heavily influenced, but I do think we need to acknowledge the influence of the Super Mario Brothers movie on this one. Which is, so for a lot of people who don't know that Detective Pikachu is its own video game, but who are familiar with Pokemon as a franchise, this movie must have seemed pretty wild because like, you think of Pokemon the way they cover it in the first 10 minutes of this movie, where it's like, You throw a ball, you catch the Pokemon, you release it for fights, you wander around in the woods a lot, and there's wild Pokemon, and suddenly there's this city that's like, oh man, Pokemon are running wild, they're coexisting with humans, and like, you don't really see much of that in the classic games. You do see that in the Detective Pikachu game, but...
Was that on Nintendo 64?
No, that was like Wii U or something like that.
Oh, okay.
That was like within the past 5 years, I think.
Okay.
I don't even know that it was translated in America. It probably was, but I'm not positive. Although it was a nice touch when they cut to Pikachu going Pika Pika when the girl can't understand him. Apparently that is the guy who voices Pikachu in the anime, which I thought was a nice touch.
That's pretty sweet.
Also, like, not a crazy difficult job, if we're being honest. Like, but yes, whereas, and like in the Super Mario Brothers movie, it's suddenly like, well, what if there was a world where all these dinosaurs had survived and kind of coexisted with these things that are human, but technically are also dinosaurs, and this whole like gritty city. And like for all the things the Mario Brothers movie did wrong, it was packed to the gills with Easter eggs. Like every shop and store you see in the background of those movies, of that movie, like is a reference to a thing from Pokemon. Mario. And very much the same thing with Detective Pikachu. So I think they kind of took the one thing that I don't necessarily want to say Mario Brothers did right, because a lot of people would have just wanted it to be a much more direct adaptation. But if you buy into the very first premise of the Mario Brothers movie, I think the set design and the like Easter eggs was like something it did really well, and Detective Pikachu in the same kind of way. And I'm sure, like I said, it wasn't surprising to me, but there are probably plenty of people who know Pokemon who was like, wow, this city is like a weird direction to take the Pokemon franchise in. Why didn't they just make the first Pokemon movie be about like Ash and his Pikachu and stuff? But I think it was a smart move.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's also a way to really bring people in. I think it's kind of great timing after the Pokemon Go craze a couple of years ago. That you know, maybe this should have been like, you know, maybe 12 months ago or something, but you know, still it takes a while for these things to happen. And I think timing is still pretty damn good to capitalize on that, because a lot of people are getting their first entry into the Pokemon world. I mean, it certainly was mine. I mean, I've always been aware of more of the Pokemon world just because I'm such a Nintendo guy, but I never played the games.
Did you play Pokemon Go?
That was the only game I played. I mean, I was one of the billion people who played it for like 2 weeks.
And I am not. So.
Yeah.
we were
out talking to our neighbors, and it was world peace for 2 weeks.
I don't think I've actually played a Pokemon game since Pokemon Crystal, which was still for like the Game Boy Color. But I like know the universe and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I went to see this with Gina's brother, Marco, and he is a big fan of these games. He plays all of them. And he said they got like a lot of details from the games, and he was very happy
with them. There was a good representation. Like, I didn't recognize about a third of the Pokemon, because they came from the 17 other generations of Pokemon after I stopped playing. And that was cool. I think it was smart. And I, for those ones, I have to trust that they did the right character designs. But, you know, they did pretty good character designs for the two-thirds that I did recognize. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Can you imagine? I've been reading about like all the trouble they had to go through to like make Lickitung, and like I can't believe that was someone's job for 3 years. Like to make. Apparently, Lickitung was supposed to be much more important in this movie, and then they showed the realistic renderings to like the Japanese people, and they were like, "This can't be on screen at all." So they had to like roll it back to like a 10-second gag.
I love that Pokemon characters have those very descriptive names. Like, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, like, even if you, like... So, I mean, like, people always complain about, like how the newest Pokemon have, like, very dumb names. One of the original 150 Pokemon's name was literally Seal. And it was a seal. And it evolved into Dewgong. And I believe Dewgong is just a synonym for the word seal. Like... Like, it's always been a bit of a problem. There's always a couple that get phoned in.
Yeah, those ones I think are translation issues for
them. Hopefully.
Well, I'm gonna go into my next puzzle piece, and I'm actually gonna continue talking about the environment and all that. And this is more so about the city specifically. Reminded me a lot of the world of Blade Runner. Very beautiful, futuristic cityscapes. And that was actually my biggest surprise with the movie was actually how great the cinematography was. It really looked great. There were a lot of really awesome choices with, and I think it was a lot of the noir, influence as well that added to that with like lighting and stuff like that.
Yeah. It did the neon noir look real well.
Exactly. That whole like neon, like neo noir neon thing.
Yeah.
And they really, really put together something that looks very cool, original. But like I said, I think inspired by the looks of Blade Runner in a lot of ways. And they do a really great job of it as well.
No, I was definitely thinking that as well. That like especially that one scene in the beginning when he first meets Pikachu and they're just like walking through all the stands and it's like the very crowded like Neo Tokyo looking kind of town or whatever, and you just see all these other weird characters at these like tent stands just getting different stuff, and that was very evocative of Blade Runner for me. They have absolutely, you know, very similar scenes in that movie.
So basically they were just trying to bring the Pokemon into the world of Ridley Scott since we got Prometheus in here as well. So yeah, this is all Ridley Scott. That's what the movie is.
I think it works because it's like they picked a part of the Pokemon universe that like if you are familiar with Pokemon, you could still be like, all right, well, there probably is a city like this in the world of Pokemon, even if we haven't seen it in the games.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if Detective Pikachu literally takes place in a different universe from the other Pokemon games, but it works and you believe it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And actually, I'm going to piggyback right off of that into another one of my puzzle pieces.
All
right. Which is a callback to an old episode we did a couple months ago, which is How to Train Your Dragon 3. Mm. Specifically because of the way, like, it almost reminds me of, like, in Flintstones, how when they don't have machines, they would have a dinosaur that happens to do the exact same thing as that machine.
Yeah.
And How to Train Your Dragon 3 specifically did a very similar thing, where like in the backgrounds of the shots, you'll see like, oh, they don't necessarily have a windmill. They've got like a dragon that's just like running on a treadmill or things like that. And like you see honestly, this was the thing I might have loved most about Detective Pikachu. Is there are some Pokemon who literally are never in the foreground. Like, you'll see, like, just a Pokemon out of focus in the background doing something. Like, and working as a part of this town. Like, there's the obvious ones. Like, there's the Machamp who's directing traffic, which makes a lot of sense because he has four arms. But, like, even little things. Like, there's a great scene when they're running down through the tents. Where there's a guy on a stove cooking, like, noodles on two woks, and also his pet Charmander is next to him, and the Charmander is using its tail as a burner for a third wok. And stuff like that, I just loved. And it does remind me a lot of, like, I think they actually do a similar gag with the stove in How to Train Your Dragon 3. But I was really trying to think of a movie that just sort of, like, incorporates bizarre animals as machinery, and and I definitely remembered that when we did the How to Train Your Dragon episode, which, subtle plug, listener, you should look up, that really stuck out to me is over the course of the three How to Train Your Dragon movies, you got to see the dragons get more and more integrated into the town, and this almost like Rhyme City seems like the equivalent, especially because also in How to Train Dragon, like, everyone's partnered off with a dragon as well. Like, Rhyme City feels like the modern equivalent of that town from How to Train Your Dragon, if they had the dragons for another, like, 10 years.
Sure, sure. Like that, that makes a lot of sense.
To continue to grow.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I love that. I completely agree. That's one of my favorite things about the movie is just how alive it is, full of creatures and just so many little details and all that stuff. And you know, not to move on too fast, but that is a good transition to my next puzzle piece, actually, which is Star Wars.
It's
just like another world just filled with as many inhabitants as they could cram in that are all just so different looking and so many interesting things to look at. And you could kind of just not pay attention to the plot if you really wanted and just like look at all the stuff that's happening and all the little creatures and cool things and the cantina scene and stuff like that. And also I was going to just kind of combine another one with it and the Fantastic Beasts movies, which also are just filled to the brim with just all kinds of creatures to look at. Wait, even if you're not you know, following the story quite as much, there's so much to see in the movie. And I'm not as big of a fan of the Fantastic Beasts movies myself, but there certainly was a lot of cool creatures to look at, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The first Fantastic Beasts is actually my favorite of the Harry Potter movies, which is weird because the second Fantastic Beasts is my least favorite of the Harry Potter movies.
It's the only one I've seen, so.
You've only seen the second one? Man, I love the first one. But, that's so true. I didn't even think of Harry Potter as, that's another good example of, like, you know, they've got the house elves doing things. They're like fairies that are, I'm really like, honestly, when Artemis Fowl comes out, like in like a year or so, that's probably going to be another movie that would have been a perfect puzzle piece for something like this. Cause Artemis Fowl has got all the mystical creatures in like an underground city and stuff like that. Doing things,
not to derail or anything, but I don't know what Artemis Fowl is.
Okay.
Should I?
Have you seen the commercials?
I did. I was like, I don't know what this is.
It was a book series from like 15 years ago. Like it is way too late for them to be adapting it. Put in perspective, like the tough guy, there's a tough guy role. And like when people, like when they were talking about making the movie, there was a lot of talk about, like, when the books first came out, there was a lot of talk of Jason Statham being the tough guy, because he was, like, the new up-and-coming tough guy at the time. So
we should still get him. I mean, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, but like, to give you perspective, right? This was, like, just after Italian Job era Jason Statham or something like that. It will probably be very, like, honestly, if we do an episode on Artemis Fowl, there's a decent chance that if we don't talk about Harry Potter, Detective Pikachu may end up being a puzzle piece for that.
Nice. That'll probably be the only other movie we ever talk about Detective Pikachu.
That sounds like I need to bring up Detective Pikachu as frequently as possible now.
Well, what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So those, I think, are kind of it for my, like, puzzle pieces. But the other big trope I was reminded of, and there is a twist on this in Detective Pikachu, but there's like that movie that they feel the need to make every 10 years where a shitty dad gets turned into a dog and then the family adopts the dog. Like, like Kevin Spacey did one last year or 2 years ago, and like Gary Busey did one 20 years ago, and Tim Allen did one 10 years ago, and like every 10 years or 5 years, like someone feels the need to make a movie about like a dad who learns the importance of family by being a pet in that family. And this was very much like a less heavy-hitting, like a less heavy-handed version of that, I felt like. I was pretty sure walking into the movie that was his dad in his body, like even before it became really obvious, like with Mewtwo stuff. I was pretty sure the whole time, like, oh, that's what it's gonna be. And I was trying to figure out the whole time, like, did Pikachu actually have amnesia, or was he pretending because he was like he just wanted to spend time with his dad? So I gotta assume that hopefully, once he turned back into his dad that he kept the memories he had along the way of being Detective Pikachu. Otherwise, he didn't learn a valuable lesson about family.
Right,
although it kind of sounds to begin with like his dad wasn't that shitty. He was just kind of busy. Like, and that the kid wasn't the best kid to begin with. Like Ryan Reynolds' character seemed much nicer than like the normal person you would see who in one of these movies gets turned into a dog or something.
Oh yeah, like that's actually a really funny thing, is he's kind of like a straight up angel.
Yeah.
Like you kind of get the impression that Ryan Reynolds' character has never done a bad thing in his life.
Yeah.
You know? Never told a lie. Which is just kind of funny, you know, especially coming off of Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great puzzle piece. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of the specific names of some of those movies, but I could picture all of them.
So Shaggy Dog is the name of the Tim Allen one, but I haven't actually seen that one. So I don't know if that's why he gets turned into a dog, is to like learn about his family. But I do think he's a shitty dad in that one. Uh-huh. And then there's the Kevin Spacey one that came out like 2 years ago.
What a great trope.
Right? Like, and I know it's been done more than those three movies too. Those are just like the only three I could remember off the top. I actually remembered the Shaggy Dog one while we were like talking about other stuff. Like, because I was desperately trying to remember the name of the Gary Busey one. Because I think the Gary Busey one, his dog's mind gets put in his body. Like, it's like a body swap one instead. So, like, the other half of the movie, like, half the movie is Gary Busey, like, voiceovering a dog being like, wow, kid, you sure do love me. And then, like, the other half is Gary Busey wearing a dog, like, collar, running around pissing on bushes and stuff.
I'm actually supposed to guest on another podcast soon where we talk about a bad movie, and I'm thinking that could be a good one for me to pick.
Red Letter Media did it as one of their best of the worsts. That's the only reason I know, is because they did it on the episode where they made Macaulay Culkin review Home Alone 4, which is such a great premise.
That's awesome. I gotta watch that because I love their
stuff. Yeah, it's a good episode.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so that trope in general.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. Well, yeah, I got two more puzzle pieces. And before I get into them, though, you know, because we're talking about Ryan Reynolds, do you happen to know, this is a question that was kind of on my mind.
Yeah.
Was he, in a similar way to Deadpool, was he a driving force behind getting this movie made?
No.
Or did they just hire Ryan Reynolds?
No, because everyone has been wanting it to be Danny DeVito for the past 2 years. I don't know if you're aware of that. But
no,
like since they announced it, because Detective Pikachu in the Japanese game has like a very gruff voice. Mm. He's like a grizzled old, like angry fat man. Voice.
Oh, Danny DeVito would have been great.
So, like, as soon as they announced they're doing live action Detective Pikachu, from day one, everyone has been like, please get Danny DeVito. Please get Danny DeVito. And they've done some, like, fan edits where they take clips from Always Sunny over, like, you know, the shots from Detective Pikachu. But no, as far as I know, this was very much just they thought he had a voice that could help encourage your suspension of disbelief and get away with like the type of humor they wanted to have, which was a weird type of humor to have for a Pokemon movie. I very much pretended Deadpool didn't exist for this entire film, because I know a lot of people like were like, oh man, I just want to see Detective Deadpool or like PG Deadpool. So
exactly.
I very specifically tried to not think about that at all. So I don't
that's why I didn't use it as a puzzle piece, too. I knew we'd end up talking about it just because we'd have to.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's, like, such an obvious thing. And it really isn't that. Like,
no.
It was advertised as it a little bit, but it really isn't that, aside from a few little throwaway jokes.
Yeah. Like, it's because he's quippy, right? But, like...
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, by that example, like, all of his characters would be, but then I remembered that very specifically Blade 3 was when a film producer was like, dude, you're basically being Deadpool, and that's when he said, what's a Deadpool? And that's when the whole Deadpool thing started, so we can thank Blade Trinity for that.
There we go.
But,
I learned something today.
Yeah, oh, man, no, that was literally someone's like, he just kept making quips, and they were like, you're just like Deadpool. And then he bought the comics and was like, oh my God, I am just like Deadpool. And that's what started all of it. Like literally years and years and years ago. Wow. Like I think even technically before Green Lantern and all that stuff. Wow. But no, I don't think he, I think he was picked, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I got two more puzzle pieces. So let's get these ones done.
Yes.
First one is the first movie I thought of when I first saw the trailer. And that is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's a great one, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the detective movie with the film noir with an animated character and a world with human characters. You know?
I still have to see that. I hear it's so good.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I haven't seen it in probably 20 years, but it was definitely like if you asked like 12-year-old me what my top 10 favorite movies of all time were, it would be in like the top three, you know?
Yeah.
I loved that movie so much. And I would think that it still holds up.
I've heard it does.
It's got to. It's absolutely got to. Maybe we should do a breaking apart on it and I'll make myself watch it. That could be pretty fun. But yeah, so I mean that comparison I think is pretty clear. You know, there's so many elements from that. This is in a lot of ways like a modern take on it.
Yeah.
And you know, and the other one that I was going to bring up, and this is again more so about the a human character pairing up with a cute animated character, and that is Ted. The Seth MacFarlane vehicle where Mark Wahlberg is teamed up with a cuddly teddy bear who is very dirty talking, but of course Ryan Reynolds doesn't go there with this, although apparently there's enough extra footage for there to be an R-rated
cut of
the movie. Yeah.
Doesn't he straight up like I think at some point he straight up references people trying to put their fingers inside of him. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck, Pikachu? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was left over. That slid by, I think.
I was getting strong like John Mulaney voicing Spider-Ham kind of vibes from that. Because like apparently there's just a ton of footage of like leftover of him like just swearing, like before they told him what the character was supposed to be, they were like, do your own take, and he went super blue with it. I gotta imagine Ryan Reynolds did the exact same thing.
I want that. I actually will watch that if it ever comes out. That would be worth watching.
That'd be fantastic.
So let's do the finished puzzle and then we'll get into all of our closing thoughts on Pokemon Detective Pikachu. So the finished puzzle includes Zootopia, Get Out, which actually in our once we get to our wrap up, you're gonna have to explain that a little bit more for all of us. But so yeah, Zootopia, Get Out, Prometheus, the Super Mario Brothers movie, Blade Runner, How to Train Your Dragon 3, the Star Wars series, the Fantastic Beasts series, movies where the dad gets turned into a dog and then the family adopts the dog.
It's so oddly specific, but it's true. I think the Kevin Spacey one is a cat, though.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It is a cat. It is. And it came out like right before. Then Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Ted.
Yes.
So that is our
Who Framed Roger Rabbit's a real good one. I didn't think of that, but it, like in retrospect.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great one. Did Who Framed Roger Rabbit have like trademarked characters from like, did it have like Looney Tunes or Disney characters or anything like that? Or was
that's a good question, because it's been so long since I watched it. I feel like they were all similar, but they weren't actually the Looney Tunes.
Oh, it was like a Watchmen kind of thing where they would get real close. Okay. Yeah. Cause I really only know Roger Rabbit and the girl in the red dress.
Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, is she Jessica Rabbit? Okay. I couldn't remember if that was the name of the Space Jam girl or not. That was Lola Bunny. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's not get Lola started talking about those. Yeah, yeah. So did you like it?
I did. Yeah, real quick, what explain to us the Get Out part.
Oh, just like the mind swapping, body jumping technology thing of like,
got you. So it's just that, just the mind switch.
Yeah, yeah. With like, oh, this is a better body, I'm going to put my mind in that body, kind of.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Pikachu is a better body, so.
Between Ryan Reynolds and a Pikachu, that is a tough decision.
I want to be Pikachu.
Who's got the better body?
So yeah, I liked this movie. I didn't love it. I'd give it about I don't know, probably about a 3, 3.5 out of 5.
Okay, out of 5. Good for Matt. I was like, wow, that is not a good review.
No, no, not out of 4. Yeah. But
not out of 10
either. Yeah. I think it was fun. I really liked the creatures, like I said earlier, like obviously the Pokemon, not creatures, but you know, I think all of that was great. I think there was some good humor, but I wish there was more of the comedy. I wish it was funnier. My biggest problem with it were the human actors.
Yeah, 100%.
Justice Smith, is that his name?
Yeah.
I think he's just...
The main kid,
He does nothing. He just does absolutely nothing. The girl was kind of
The girl was not good, no.
Yeah. Bill Nye, you know, was having a little bit of fun with the role. But otherwise, the human characters really dragged this thing down, I thought.
I would agree, yeah. And I was bummed because, like, Ken Watanabe is, like, one of my favorite actors, too. And he had very little to do in this
so
movie.
Little to do.
That he strikes me as a character who maybe had a couple scenes cut or something like that.
It's very possible.
I will tell you, though, this is a movie that, mediocre or not, I'll be seeing the next one just for more of that world building and seeing more, like if it's got a bigger budget. Because I saw somewhere, and I don't know if this was an exaggerated figure or a true figure, that there's only 50 different types of Pokemon in this movie. And at a glance, like, it could be true. I don't actually know. But there's just so many other Pokemon. Like, they didn't do most of the other starter Pokemon and stuff like that. So, like, I would pay $13 just to see more of this universe on a TV screen, on a movie theater screen. Kind of the same way I'm going to pay, you know, $15 to see Avatar when the next one comes out. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, just to see how that world works.
Do you got someone for Ash?
Or like who would play Ash if...
Uh-huh.
I don't know, because like the thing is, like, Ash is a piece of shit. Like, and he's also only like 11. Like they gloss over that a lot. Because like he is whiny, but like he's like an acceptable amount of whiny. Like, if you were, like, making, like, an accurate Pokemon, it'd be, like, the young Sheldon kid would be Ash or something like that. Right? And, like, no one wants to see that. I mean, like, yeah, if it was grown up, I'd be really interested in seeing, like, a Brick-era Joseph Gordon-Levitt And, like, everything
Let's
that would
CGI
entail
him.
With that.
Why not?
Yeah, CGI 14-year-old Joseph Gordon-Levitt. 16-year-old Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play an 11-year-old character. It should work great. They'll be like, but Ryan, we've got footage of him on Third Rock from the Sun as an 11-year-old. It's like, no, that's not what I want. 16-year-old JGL playing 11-year-old Ash Ketchum.
It's the most expensive movie ever filmed.
Making him look young costs more than the Pokemon itself. I do have to say, though, and I'm curious if you agree with this, I think technically this is the best video game movie that's been made. Like, it's not a high bar, but...
I think technically... Yeah, I don't know. I was actually thinking it might be worth it for us to do some kind of a rundown of video game movies one of these days on the show.
The only other video game movie worth watching is Mortal Kombat 1. So
right. I mean, there's still Mortal Kombat 1. Of course, I'm one of the few fans of the Rampage movie. I love that movie, even though it is dumb as shit. But I think this probably is, if not the best, it's one of the best that's ever been made. It does have enough of a balance of being, you know, faithful to the games while also being an actual watchable movie, you know?
So. Yeah, I think it did benefit a lot from the fact that there aren't many, but there are a few kind of left field Pokemon games. And Detective Pikachu is the left fieldest of them all. So it managed to get away with being a pretty straight out. Like, my understanding is that's the first 2/3 of that, first 3/4, just is the plot of the game. Like, it didn't deviate very much from that plot at all. And I think that worked to their advantage, actually, was, like, they kind of got the benefit of doing a weirder interpretation while still actually being pretty faithful, just not to the source material that people would have expected.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, no, I think they did a good job. They did video games proud. And you know, hopefully we'll get more of this direction with Sonic. Just kidding.
Oh yeah, I want to put this on. Like record it to tape that if you listen to that episode, the top 10 anticipated movies of 2019, I formally retract my Sonic suggestion and just replace it with Detective Pikachu a second time.
Did you hear that sound, everybody? That is the sound of me catching your recommendation for Sonic the Hedgehog the movie and placing it somewhere towards the top of my list because I can't fucking wait for that movie now.
I
think it's going to be so stupid and so great.
Everything I said about why I'm excited about Sonic, I stand by. But it's like a genie took what I said and like twisted it to like be technically true.
Yeah, it's not a genie. It's like the djinn from Wishmaster is.
Yeah. One of those like real tricky genies.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you got anything that you've watched lately that you want to recommend?
No, but I do have something else I want to put on the air while we've got it, which is that I do want our listeners to know that Dave has formally agreed to let me do a Breaking Apart episode about Point Break one of these days. And we're going to procrastinate that for a long time. But this is the proof that if he ever claims that that conversation never happened, I was promised that I would get to do a Point Break episode one of these days. And there we will. I'm using my soapbox time for that instead.
I promise I will watch it one day this summer and then we will.
Yeah, that'd be a good summer episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah, like gonna happen. 4th of July weekend or kind of thing.
Oh. I'm doing it. We're doing it. All right, great. Well, Ryan, as always, thanks for being here. And do you have anything you want to plug real quick before we get going?
Yeah, Digimon is better than Pokemon in every conceivable way.
Solid use of plugging time.
My name is Toby. I'm one of the hosts of the Secret Transmission Podcast. We do a satire show all about conspiracies, UFOs, the paranormal, cryptozoology, true crime, and much more. Our show is transmitted to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and many other podcast apps.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
Secret Transpod. We hope you
come listen to us
try to explain the unexplainable.
All right, that does it for our conversation on Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Thank you, Ryan Darty, for being here for this one. Ryan's going to be back really soon on the show. We actually recorded a special episode that we'll be letting you guys know about real soon. And then he'll also be on the Godzilla King of the Monsters episode. And, of course, that Point Break, Breaking It Apart, that we are going to do later this summer. So that does it for today. I want to remind you all to please make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. And you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. You could join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, a movie discussion group where we continue the conversation about all these movies. And, you know, if you really love the show, you can also rate and review us on iTunes. 5 stars would be amazing. We'd love to get some more reviews on there. And we also really do want to hear what you're thinking of the show. So leave us a review and let us know. You could also just get in touch directly. You could either direct message me or you could email me directly, bydavidrosen@gmail.com. The show has an email address too, but I always forget to check it. So you might as well just email me. So I guess that about does it. How about I leave you guys with a piece of music, as I always do? And, you know, Pokemon being a video game series, I was looking into some of the music I've done for video games. And there's this one little game that I did music for years ago. I mean, it's like 6, 7, 8 years ago or something. It was called Red Ninja Dragon Mouse. And I think this track from that game would really fit for a Pokemon type thing. So I'm glad I remembered it existed because it's the perfect fit for this episode. So let's close out the episode with Red Ninja Dragon Mouse. What a ridiculous title.
And all points west.